Hello, everyone, and welcome to Grip Lock, Foundation Disc Golf Weekly Podcast, presented by True Classic Tees. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Trevor and Connor.
Hey.
Got a pretty good show we're going to have. In the Bag is back now that all three of us are back together. We're going to talk through a little off-season player tracking, some moves actually went down, a little Trevor's trivia, disc golf help desk, and obviously the blind disc golf guessing game with three people. A little twist. But first, quick word from our sponsors. I'm excited to partner with today's sponsor, Aura. Aura is an easy-to-use app that includes everything you need to stay safe online. They protect you from scammers and hackers by scanning the so-called dark web, where criminals sell stolen information looking for your emails, passwords, and social security numbers. It alerts you fast if anything is found. They help you fight back against those annoying websites that make your personal information public by automatically requesting the removal of your info, which helps reduce robocalls, too. They also give you near real-time alerts on suspicious credit inquiries, like if someone was opening a loan or credit card in your name. That actually, I went to open a credit card, and I was like, and I got declined immediately. I was like, what the frick? And I was like, oh yeah, I'm protected by Aura. So I just signed in, super easy, sign in, unfreeze your account, let my credit card application go through, got approved, refroze it, boom. So it works like a charm.
Wow,
Their VPN also allows you to stay anonymous online by keeping your browsing history and personal information safe and encrypted, and they protect your devices from viruses, malware, spyware, and more, so the bad guys can't break in even if they want to. They can even help you manage what your kids are doing on their devices. You can restrict specific apps, set screen time limits, and even set focus to ensure your child's doing their homework instead of binging YouTube, and their password manager lets you store and access all your online passwords securely and conveniently in one place. So let Aura do the hard work of keeping you safe online. If you sign up right now, Aura will give you a free 2-week free trial with our link. You'll be shocked at how much your private information Aura found exposed over those 2 weeks. So go to aura.com/foundationdiscgolf to start your free trial. It's also linked in the description down below. And thanks again to Aura for sponsoring today's episode. All right, we're getting right into the show. We're going to start it off with In the Bag. So if you're not familiar what In the Bag is, essentially it's a segment where we have a prompt. We each go snake draft style, pick the four prompts. Silas is bringing some discs here for the future segment. We just can't look at them. All right. We each pick something snake draft style, create our list. The list is then posted at Griplock Pod over on Twitter and then voted on. Trevor, well, the last one we did was about a month ago now, a little less than a month ago, and it was ways to beat in a disc. And Trevor ended up winning that list. So Trevor gets to decide the order going into today. I have one win. Trevor has one win.
All right. I'm going to go for this one. This is going to be a really tricky list because I think it's going to be very subjective. Like,
did I say what the list was?
Nope.
It's disc golf logos. Players, brands, anything. Disc golf logos.
Yeah, so it's going to be a very subjective one. And there's a lot of good answers.
Yep, there are.
So
there's also a lot of bad answers.
Yeah, but there's not like certain logos that I'm like, I need to have that one. Like, I don't feel like there's like one logo in disc golf that everybody just knows is the best. So for that reason, I'm going to have the order be Hunter, Connor, me.
Okay.
I'm
going to try to just stick with like a vibe of my logos.
Oh, a vibe.
Yeah, that way if people vibe with my vibe, they ride with me. If you ride with my vibe, vote with me. You know what I'm saying?
If you're on a ride, ride with me.
I'm starting off with, this isn't the strongest logo on my list, personally think, but I think it might be the most popular logo on my list. So I'm riding with it. Mr. Nate Sexton.
Okay.
The NS with him spinning the disc in it.
Yeah, that's very cool.
It's fine. I have a disc with his logo on it. I respect it. I think it's a very recognizable logo.
All right. I'm going to go first off here. I'm going to say the Dark Horse logo.
Oh,
simp.
That's fine. Simp. That's fine. But here's the reason why I say the Dark Horse logo. It. Yep. It's right there.
Simp. Is that really a disc golf logo, though?
Yes.
Something to think about.
I
mean, he's a professional disc
golfer.
Would you say
it's more recognized by disc golfers or non-disc golfers, just people in general?
It doesn't
probably
matter.
Disc golfers at this point.
You think?
Yes, definitely.
Definitely?
I wouldn't say definitely. That's a very hard thing to say right there.
I would say plausibly.
Be careful.
I would say it's possible.
Yes.
I would say unlikely.
I would say that it's a disc golfer's logo. You can't say it's not.
True.
So, and I say that because at this point, the Dark Horse logo is a legacy. You know, it's a community at this point.
I think everybody should just take into account that Connor's a simp.
I think that you can.
Connor's next logo.
And everybody watching this
logo
is also a simp.
Connor's next logo after that, the Atlas logo. Simp.
That would be funny.
I'd never choose a foundation logo, man. I love the foundation logo. Trevor doesn't like
it. I'm going to have two picks here. I'm going to take the Yuli logo first.
Nice. Dang, solid one.
Because Yuli was the pioneer of that kind of like modern futuristic block logo style, like putting the letters of your name. He started that. The thing that everybody does, the PM logo obviously does it, you know, KJ, Gannon Burr, AB, like everybody
Yuli's
does
is
it.
The best one too, because it's so simple.
Yeah, Yuli's is very good, and he started it. So when that logo first came out, it was new, unlike everybody's now, which, and it's fine. Like, it's a pretty good equation. Like, Gannon Burr, he's got a similar thing. It looks cool. I'm not going to say that it doesn't. But Yuli started it, so I picked him. And then my next pick is Brian Earhart.
Oh, the Bearheart.
I really like the Bearheart logo. I think it's just a sick nickname, too. And I always think it looked really cool in his Tour Series zone. So I'm going to go with the Bearheart.
Connor, back to you.
All right, here we go. Mine is going to be the Jomez Pro logo. I really like the Jomez Pro logo with the Jomez Pro, the three different. If you,
yeah,
if
you can't logos.
Remember, alternate it logo.
What?
Their alternate logo.
See, their main logo is just like text, Jomez Pro.
Yeah, that's
the
one I'm talking about.
You're talking about the one
you're
in
talking
the
about
circle?
The stacked one. That's on yeah, their the social. Stacked, the yeah, stacked. That's their alt logo. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
I feel like that's a very solid logo, very usable, very recognizable. Obviously, it says it. And I think it's fun. You can use it in different styles. I think that's a good logo. Successful.
All right, my next one. This one is probably the logo that I would be most likely to buy merch. Like a hat with just this logo
I know
on it.
Exactly, we're about to choose
the Drew Gibson logo.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, the it looks a lot. Pranked. It looks a lot like the LeBron James logo from back in the day with the crown on top.
Uh-huh. That's very cool.
And I feel like that logo, the Drew Gibson logo, I feel like is the, in my opinion, the disc golf logo that would be like most likely to be trendy outside of disc golf. Like if you took that logo, put it on a brand outside of disc golf, there's just an apparel company. I think that's the most like streetwear. Yeah, ready logo.
It's pretty cool. I like it. It was on my list.
I've got this next one's a toughie. I think I got to stick with the same vibe. The only problem is the Drew Gibson logo very much copied LeBron James.
Yes.
This next logo very That's much copied Kobe Bryant. But imitation's the best form of flattery. Anthony Barella's my next logo.
You think his copied Kobe Bryant? Kobe Bryant's logo is like that triangle thing.
Yeah, AB's logo is a triangle.
He's got a snake in his with the letters AB and a snake tongue going on.
Which logo are you talking about?
His new one.
I'm talking about...
Have you seen his new logo?
Let me pull up the logo I'm talking about of his.
I think you're maybe talking about an old one. I'll pull up his new one on his Instagram. It's also, his new one is on his Tour Series disc these days. This is his logo.
Yeah.
How is that copying Kobe's?
The Black Mamba logo.
Well, that's not Kobe's logo. Kobe's logo is like what's on the Kobe, which is like that. Oh.
Yeah, it's very similar. The same vibe. You get the vibe. You see it.
I mean, yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, they're both snakes.
When I saw that logo, and I hadn't seen this one in a while, I saw that and like, that's a Kobe vibe.
Yeah, I mean, it well, kind of...
Just like the LeBron James...
All, they're kind of all the same vibe.
The LeBron James logo and the Drew Gibson logo aren't identical by any means. Right. They're just like similar vibes.
Well, no, so Kyrie's logo and LeBron's logo combined are like Drew Gibson's because his is like more vertical. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like a combination. Yeah, I but see
I feel
it.
Like, I mean, I feel like if we're talking about
AB's logo,
Kobe Bryant, LeBron logo. James, and Kyrie Irving... Then you're in a good court and you should be on my list.
I think AB's logo is sick and I wish he would actually release merch with it. And I messaged him about it once and he said he would soon and he never did. So.
All right, back to Connor, all right. I believe.
Yes, yes, it's my turn.
Did you pick two?
Yeah. So I already said Dark Horse and Jomez Pro. I think I'm going to go... All right, here we go. I'll go with kind of a weird one here.
Wait, how does this work? Snake draft wise.
What do you mean?
Because I only have three.
Yeah,
but it'll eventually come back to me, and I should be picking two, but I only have one more to pick.
You'll just pick one.
I just pick that's one just at that
how
point.
It's always yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I've ever been in this position because that doesn't matter.
Yeah. You definitely have. It started with you multiple times.
Maybe not this year, but.
So my next one is going to be the Disc Golf Pro Tour. I really like that this logo an right
interesting
here.
Choice.
No, well, look, you like this
the
logo.
The NBA
as well.
Logo.
This one.
I think that logo is pretty boring.
Yeah,
I mean, it's fine. I think this is a great logo.
I don't think there's a problem with it, but not. Like they were like, we have a pro tour. What should we do for our logo? And they're like, how about just take a basket?
No, I know, but
it's
a
just
really
the NBA logo.
Yeah, but it's just a very it's just a very cool like interpretation of a basket, and I like the colors a lot. How they're not quite bright red and bright blue, but they're more muted.
I do like their colors.
I think it's a really simple, really clean logo, and that's what the Disc Golf Pro Tour logo should be. I think it's a very effective logo, which makes it a good logo.
I would agree with that.
Which is why it should be in my bag.
I was very confused for a second. I was like, what?
All right, so my last two, I'm going to kind of switch to manufacturers and pick two of my favorites. First is Dynamic Discs, the reflective Ds, the double Ds, if you will. With the crown, I think that this is just a classic disc golf logo. I think it's solid. It's pretty iconic at this point. It's been around for a long time. And then lastly, I'm going to take Discmania, the shield. I like the shield.
That's a good one.
I think the shield is cool. So yeah, those are my two manufacturers I like.
My last one is also going to be a disc manufacturer, and this list I'm not going for popularity. I went here with Castoplast.
Nice.
The Castoplast logo is super clean and can be used in almost any form as it is.
I've got a very tough choice to make here. I need to relook at some of these logos.
And if you can't remember what the Castoplast logo looks like, look it up. It's a very
no.
Cool
I know
logo.
What you're. Oh, yeah. I know what you. I know what that
logo
is.
Castoplast is a good logo.
I was talking about for myself.
They have a good font in general.
Yeah,
like the font they use for all their stamps is.
But it's
really
just like
good.
Just the K with the three lines on each side.
Because one of the logos I want to pick, I don't know if people will know what this logo is.
Oh,
which one is that?
I'm not telling you.
You talking about? I know what you're talking about.
Say it then.
Vino.
Yeah, I really like his logo.
Because he's got the wolf, right?
No, that's Colt Montgomery.
That's Colt Montgomery. Which one's Vino?
The like DNA looking thing.
Yeah. I like Missy Gannon's logo. I almost picked hers.
Yeah, honorable mention. I almost said Robbie.
But I wasn't going to take anybody who uses just the initials except for Yuli because he started it.
I almost said Robbie C. Because
I also like Tristan Tanner's.
Oh, shoot.
But I don't know if
Tristan Tanner's is like,
stolen.
Tristan Tanner's is a little bit criminal because like it's literally just a T in a cool font.
But no, it's two T's and his name's Tristan Tanner. It's cool.
It look cool. Yes. But like as in the logo game, as far as logos go, like, all right.
I think, man, because the other person I have on my list is more of the like mainstream, just popular pick, which is Kevin Jones.
It's not you, bro. Oh, no. Because
that's like the, you know, like there's nothing wrong with it. Just block KJ.
I got a logo you can pick right here.
They're you know, intertwined in a cool way.
By the way, if you guys don't vote for Hunter on this one, you're wrong because he has a graphic design degree. So like he knows which one.
No, I'm just picking. I mean, the Drew Gibson and the AB logo, those are both very, very cool logos.
I love that AB logo. Yeah. The snake's tongue on there, like, come on, bruh.
Kyle Klein's kind of sick.
Bite me.
Looks like a basket, 2Ks. I don't think I've ever seen
like,
it.
That kind of looks like the. Yeah, I say I've never seen that logo in my life.
That's the only thing I'm worried about.
Should
like,
we
I
have
say these
logos
and
should
like
we,
people don't know?
No, this is what we need to do for next week. We need to like reach out to the guy that does all of their logos.
T-Box.
Is that T-Box that does them?
Yeah.
Like with the initials?
Yeah, I think so.
We need to reach out and see if he'll do ones with our initials.
I reached out to him trying to get a t-shirt design, man. He didn't reach back yet.
Bro. He hates us.
I also kind of like Ezra's logo, though.
Ezra's is a little bit, it's good, but it's a little much for me.
All right, you know what? Screw it. I'm just looking at this list, picking the one that I think matches my vibe of what I'm going with
this
list the most, and I'm going with Kyle Klein's logo.
Wow.
Good job, Hunter.
Let me make sure that is Kyle Klein's logo.
Great one.
Because I'd never seen it before. I think it is. Does he use it on anything?
I was going to say, I don't know if it exists.
What is that? That's not the logo I want. That KK with a circle.
I don't know if...
All right, I take it away. Can't
wow.
use it.
Yeah,
oh, because
it.
I don't know
you
that's Kyle Klein. I don't know that's Kyle Klein's logo.
But you said Kyle Klein's logo.
You're looking at the same logo I'm looking at, right, Trevor?
You just said Kyle Klein's logo. So I think
but is that Kyle Klein's logo?
No take backsies.
Who is that logo?
No takes backsies.
It could be anybody else with the name KK.
You took your hand
Connor
off the
Kennedy.
Chest piece,
it could
my
be
guy.
Connor's logo.
That is my logo, actually.
Dang, that's tough. Well, you're going to have to just go with Connor Kennedy's logo. You already picked it.
Do y'all actually make me lock that in? That
oh
has
gosh.
To be Kyle
Why
Klein's
you
logo.
So sad.
Because like if this is the logo I'm locking in, that is, I'm very sad because I hate that logo.
You
if that's the one.
Your logos, man. Who else has the
No, okay, Kyle Klein logo and then it's right there. That. I like that logo.
Cool.
That is Kyle Klein. There but that's go. Also Kyle Klein. I hate that logo.
Yeah, the one that's on Discmania store is...
I like the one that's on the Great Lake Discs bag patch.
That logo's like never been used again. You know what? Again.
It's fine. I think I'm going to use like the visuals for these. I've just like put the logos in for the list, so it's fine.
Oh, gosh.
They'll make sure that you ask us before you choose which logos, though, for each one.
Trevor, watch me pick Kyle Klein's logo.
My logo.
No. I'm not saying.
Oh yeah, it's on this disc. It's Rookie of the Year disc.
Oh no, I'm not thinking that this you're going to change
an old,
your logo.
This must be an old logo.
I'm saying I want to make sure you choose the logos I was thinking.
The one that's in sock right here.
That's a mutant.
That must be old.
Yeah, it's gonna be real old.
If Kyle Klein went from this logo to that logo, he needs to fire his manager. That's all I'm going to say.
Heard it here, Kyle. So Kyle, we've got a Kyle here. Kyle Sennett.
He's Kyle Kind.
He is.
Yeah, because that Kyle one's so kind. Much cooler.
How much is that disc for?
$114.
Why?
This was his logo back in 2020, which makes me think that he switched from this logo to that logo. Which, why?
All right, so you're...
All right, his 2020 Kyle Klein logo. I'll type that in.
Never forget. Kyle Klein... It's back when he's better at disc golf, too.
2020 Kyle Klein logo.
So, never forget that either.
All right, let's go ahead and do the blind disc guessing game.
All right.
I'm already wearing
how this is going to work is I'm going to just use my hat and pull my hat down.
Same. I'll do the same.
Trevor's got a beanie. I didn't wear a beanie today. You know what? Here, no. I'll flip my... No, because I'll mute my voice. Okay. Trevor and I'm going to pick up the disc. They're behind me. We have five discs. I will feel it. Give Connor one hint.
I can't see Trevor. Anything except for my knee.
Trevor will feel it. Give Connor one hint.
Okay.
We'll go back and forth. Connor will lock in his guess. Then I'll look up, look at the disc, say if we're right or not. Goal is to get all five. We're all working on a team here.
Sounds good. Teamwork.
Sounds great. Here. I love teamwork games.
Let me blind myself really quick.
This is not a comfortable way to wear a hat for me right now.
Consider myself blind. Okay, I need to make sure I'm like on the mic when I'm talking.
I'm nervous.
Silas, where did you put them?
They're behind you, aren't they?
Oh, they're there. Okay.
Gosh. You already explained how this game works?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, first disc is in my hand.
Oh, I'm feeling silly. Anytime we put the blindfolds on, man, yeah, I do too. You start to feel silly.
If you can't see the audience, they're not there, and you say whatever you want.
So we have a putter.
Okay.
No inside rim wording.
Mm-hmm.
Premium plastic.
Okay.
Is it? Does it feel like it's an overmold?
I think that's it. Give it to Trevor to give you the next hint.
Trevor, does it feel as if it has an overmold?
Yeah, on the outside of the disc, there is some tooling, which would make this either be Axiom or MVP.
Are you trying to tell him, get him not to guess it?
Brother, on the outside of the rim, it has the pen.
Is it an overmold?
I can't tell. Yet I'm getting
scratch there. Your fingernail
I said
on
it's
it.
Either Axiom or MVP.
Scratch your fingernail on where the overmold.
What the heck, Connor? Why'd you come after me just then?
Because it doesn't feel like an overmold. Which I mean, the only way it is, it's streamline.
Scratch your fingernail on where the overmold would end. See if you can feel a little indent.
I do feel it.
What?
Okay.
There's literally a notch.
Does it feel? Well, then let's think about
your fingernail on the top of the disc, Connor. On the top of the disc, run it over the flight plate. I literally feel a notch. Like towards the
you would think
edge.
That you'd be able to feel gyro a lot more, but a lot of times you can't feel the
do you
gyro.
Feel
it's
it?
Crazy.
There's, yes, now okay. I do. Now I do.
Yeah, it's
do.
Overmold.
Does it feel like it has a micro bead on it?
I feel like envy isn't initially what I feel.
I don't think that technically you're allowed to say a disc to me.
We're supposed to just give him blind hints.
Yeah, but I was thinking that's
what
I was going
yesterday.
For.
Yesterday.
Well, what ends up happening is three discs into this, we just throw all the rules out the window.
Oh, I was going to say, because
if you just tell me the disc, then there's no then I don't have a purpose here in this game.
What'd you ask? Microbead?
Well, yeah, if it has a but Trevor's, that's what I was thinking, so it's not a big deal. If it has a microbead, I'm thinking envy. If
I'd say microbead, yes.
Okay, does it
you
feel
were allowed
like,
to say the name when we did it, right, Hunter?
I wasn't supposed to, no.
Oh, okay.
I was supposed to be like, it feels, but like if but Connor would have said proxy, I'd have been like, I don't know if it feels like a proxy.
Yeah. So
you see what I'm saying?
Does it feel like a proxy or does it feel like an envy?
It feels more like an envy.
Okay, then you guys would just want to say envy?
Okay, I think we lock it in.
I agree with that.
All right,
I'm looking up. Looking? It's an Eclipse Envy.
Okay, all right.
Boom. So. All right.
Great job, everybody.
One disc down, one disc win.
Great job. That
I'm
was
pretty
fun.
Familiar with that mold. So
having three people doing this does make it really
okay,
kind of funny.
Okay, next disc is in my hand. Discraft mold, fairway driver, ESP feel. I think it's pretty obvious what it is, but I'll let Trevor give you the hint that I think will possibly send.
Does it
you
feel
there.
Stable, Trevor?
I think there's cross hatching.
Oh, so is it a predator?
Oh no, there's not.
Okay,
that was just tooling.
All right.
It's got the
fill the rim.
It has the
the outer
like
edge.
Droopy like rim bead situation on the outer edge.
So is it a passion?
That's what I'm thinking.
Let me feel
Wait,
it
do
again.
Passions have the tooling on the inside though?
Yeah,
because they're a page line. Okay. Yeah, I was as soon as I felt it, I was thinking passion.
I would agree
okay,
with that.
I think you're
it's
mistaking that. Let's
I
say
would concur.
Right, passion. I'm locking in passion.
Correct.
Nice. Easy. Great
two
job,
for
everybody.
Two.
I was like, I think there's cross hatching. Then I actually felt the disc. I was like,
yeah,
that is
it
not
does
a
feel
predator.
Like
cross
hatching.
All right, we've got a mid range.
All right. What is it? Is it buzz esque, rock esque?
No inside.
Okay.
No
it could be an approach disc. I take it all back. I think it's an approach disc.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Can
I get?
I'm gonna give it to Trevor.
Yeah, Trevor. Trevor, can I get some nub
the inside
feeling?
Inside rim
feel
almost
the nub
feels
for me?
Unfinished.
Give me a nub feel, Trevor.
Nub? You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
feel the nub.
Almost
for
no
me.
Nub.
Almost no nub. So a trilogy. I'm thinking trilogy.
It is gonna be trilogy. I feel the words.
What does it feel like? Does it feel like a bounty?
No. Overstable,
no, I think like
approach
overstable.
Disc. Yeah.
Oh.
But kind of
like a
narrower.
Culprit. Is it
yeah,
culprit?
That's what I'm thinking.
Let me feel it again.
That's what I'm thinking.
If it's narrower, I say a culprit.
That's kind of what
I don't
I'm
know
thinking.
A culprit good enough. This plastic feels so good.
A culprit feels like a little bit narrower zone with a little bit more of an intense.
Is it more like intensely triangular?
Yes. That's what
okay,
I'm thinking.
Okay, then I'm comfortable
culprit.
With that.
Yeah.
Culprit?
I'm saying culprit.
Yarn from Castoplast.
Dang it!
We missed the sticker on the bottom.
Side. Dang it!
Oh, man, we suck.
We went too fast. I knew that plastic felt too good to be lucid.
I felt so good about
hey.
It. Hey. Lucid.
Well, that's what I said.
Back
I said the plastic
off, bro.
Feels really good.
Back
which made
off,
me go,
dude.
This can't be lucid.
Don't you know that Trevor's on Team DD?
Yeah.
Okay, got another disc in my hand here. Fairway of some type. Feels a lot more like lucid this time. I'll pass it off to Trevor.
All right, Trevor, give me a speed and some nub feel.
I'm thinking like 8 to 9 range.
Okay.
Nub is not protruding.
Do you feel? Does it have a circle around the nub, or is it
yeah,
straight?
It does.
Okay, does it feel as if it's Innova then, or is it a smaller?
I'm
circle?
Feeling something else on the bottom of the flight plate though. Like there is embossing.
Oh, then could it be Prodigy? How are your hands bleeding?
flashing is not.
It's. I'm just kidding.
Honestly,
does
it does
feel like an FX4?
When you say Prodigy, the plastic, I'll hand it back to Hunter, the plastic feels kind of like 500
newer
or
stuff?
750.
They feel like they're newer stuff?
Yeah.
Kind of it definitely does. Could be.
Does it feel like an FX4?
Well, but the... Let me feel this embossing.
There, you feel... It's there for sure.
They
the
have
embossing's
really
almost
aggressive
like,
embossing.
It's not that aggressive.
Okay.
It wasn't... It was pretty big surface area that I was scratching.
I was going to say, it feels like big, which makes me lean more towards trilogy of some type. Mm.
Trilogy does not
trilogy
big
doesn't
embossing.
Do embossing.
It's tiny.
Yeah. No, they do the like brand above.
Yeah, but
Discmania
like really,
does too.
It's like really
this
subtle.
Isn't, what do you mean
it's
by
like
big?
Really subtle though.
Like I feel like I was scratching a large surface area of embossed things on the bottom.
Like
no.
Does it protrude quite a bit from the bottom?
No.
No,
definitely not.
I meant like big as in like surface area.
Okay.
So there's like two different areas of embossing. One, I think, would be the disc title, whatever that disc title is, it feels like. Like, it feels like just a few letters. The other feels like where a brand would be.
Okay.
Let me see it again.
I'm wondering, what's the plastic feel like, Trevor? Like, do you think it could be like a Supreme line?
Mm. Well, if there's a circle around the nub, then it's
there
not
is a circle around the nub.
No, because Prodigy's embossing is like all the way up towards the rim.
And
right?
Prodigy's embossing is big letters, and they
yeah,
stick out far.
Letters.
And if it's
yeah.
made in China, it has a sticker.
But yeah. it's
does their Supreme plastic for Latitude have the circle around the nub?
I do not know
because they do make that on different machines.
Oh my gosh!
Oh man!
Is it? It's not Gateway, is it?
No shot.
No, you would definitely be able to tell if it was Gateway.
It's just...
Okay, no, let's think about...
The embossed
let's
area.
Think about
so, like, I'm touching the
okay,
embossed
just,
area right now.
Okay, let's just feel the
now.
Rim. Let's just feel the
I'm
rim.
I'm touching
well,
the
guys,
embossed area right now, and it is, like, at least 3 fingers wide. Like...
Yeah, but at the top, like, Discmania would say, like... like
discmania.com,
you know what I'm saying? Like that, and then there's a logo
Prodigy
above
says
it.
This Prodigy,
like, doesn't that feel like there's a logo
whatever.
Above
it
the top embossing?
It definitely doesn't feel like C-line, though.
I need some help
but
here.
Could it be like Supreme? Like, could it be that Supreme Escape?
If it, yeah, it could be the. That's the only option for that plastic would be the Supreme Escape, because that's the only fairway driver they make in that plastic.
Should we go with that?
I don't know though, because like it does have the
kinda,
circle around the rim.
It does.
The thing about the Prodigy is, it does have a little bit of flashing, which I feel like Supreme's very good about not having flashing.
Yeah,
and it definitely has a little sharp flashing. What Prodigy molds are still made in the U.S.? That are like fairway-esque.
I don't know.
I do not know.
Because it doesn't. It's not the FX2 because the bottom's not unfinished.
I don't know if they're even like that anymore. Are they?
Are they? Because it could be the FX2 if it's not. If it's not like that.
Hmm. Is it an FX2? It kind of does feel like an FX2.
The flashing and like stuff like that would make me think like possibly FX2. But I'm with Connor here. The Prodigy letters come out from the disc a lot more, I feel like. And I feel like it's a different font than what I'm feeling.
This man's feeling fonts right now?
Well, like I feel like the letters are bigger. You know, like it says like designed in USA.
Yeah,
and
I
stuff.
Agree.
Like
I
feel like I would feel that more.
Yeah. I think, but I don't think sure that's on the FX2 mold though.
I'm pretty sure the newer, if you would know if it was an FX2. You would know.
Okay, well, let's feel. I'm going to feel to see if they embossed a weight. Oh, what is that? What is that? No, I don't feel weight.
I'm sorry. I feel like it's
I don't
not,
feel a weight.
I feel like it's not Prodigy because I feel like you'd know if it was Prodigy. I'm going back to Trilogy.
The only thing is that circle around the nub. Is there any other companies we're getting?
Trilogy does sometimes have the circle.
We do
around
have
the nub,
there. There's definitely a logo above the writing on the top embossing.
Okay, then it's the dynamic logo.
It could be.
It's a dynamic disc.
It could be.
What is it? Does it feel flippy?
No. Here's the thing: is it feels kind of like a PD. And when we discovered after last week's show that the Escape feels kind of like the PD.
It did.
Okay, so it
feels I think
stable.
This could be an Escape.
Okay.
I
think it could
be. I could
be
with you on Escape. I feel confident at this point that it's dynamic discs.
I'm glad you do.
If you say that, I'm just going to give us confidence and say if there's a logo above the letters, it's dynamic discs.
Well, the thing is, if it's dynamic, this has to be Supreme plastic, right, Trevor? Feel that. If this is Trilogy, what other plastic is that? It doesn't feel like Fusion to me.
It's Fusion, right?
Does it feel like Fusion to you?
It could. Oh, wait a second. Wait a freaking second.
Tell me. What are you thinking?
It could be Fusion Ice. It's not a felon, is it?
Oh, it could
no.
be Fusion. Fusion
no,
Ice.
No, it's not a felon.
Fusion
felon.
Ice feels like that Royal
doesn't,
line.
Doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
It is the same, basically.
All right, let's go. I think
Fusion Ice feels like the Royal
line. Well, now we're opening to all molds now, though.
I think, but just think here. Is it
not all the molds?
No,
have
does
the logo
it feel like a T-Bird? Is it T-Bird?
No, it's faster. It's got to be like a 10 speed.
Isn't an Escape T-Bird esque?
No.
Okay.
Not really.
I think this is like a 9 or 10 speed.
Why does it kind of feel like an Eagle?
Okay. No.
Then you're still pointing me towards Escape, I feel like. By saying
I think
that.
We just have to guess. It's getting out of hand.
Oh, no.
We've been on this disc for
We don't have to think. We don't have to say plastic. All right, Connor, whatever you're feeling, say it.
I think we should just go with Escape.
I'm looking at the disc. Lock it in.
That's fine.
I'm going Escape.
It's an Escape. It's a Fusion Escape, boys.
Heck yes.
We got there.
Heck yes.
We got there.
Wow. Interesting.
All right, last one. I picked up the last disc. We got another fairway. We got some more embossing on the bottom.
Emboss.
Where's my mic? I can tell I'm not talking into it. I'm hearing my ears.
You
there I am.
You sound interesting right now.
I can tell I was talking over it. Circle around the rim. A lot of embossing. I'm thinking possible Innova mold. I'm handing it to Trevor.
Oh, you're thinking possible Innova mold.
What do you think, Travis?
Yeah, circle around the rim.
So it's like
tiny embossing would point to Innova.
And it's long. The embossing's
and
long.
And I feel like the Rancho embossing around the tooling around the edge as well.
Give me some disc feel. Some disc feel there.
Fairway. Could be... This, to me, is like Eagle or T-Bird territory for sure.
Let me feel this thing.
Is it a T-Bird?
I'm thinking it's one of those
two. It definitely could be a T-Bird.
Should we just
What is this plastic?
Should we just go T-Bird?
Feel the plastic and think Innova. It's a weird run of champ if it's champ.
Give me a tap
it's
on the table.
Not star.
Give me a tap on the... Hit the rim on the table for me.
Ugh.
Ooh, wait. Do it again.
Ugh.
Is that right on the edge of the rim?
Yeah.
Hit me again.
I don't like
that's
that.
Star. That's star.
No. Can't be star. It doesn't feel star.
He's bullcrapping you, bro.
But I can see it.
It's
I can
too
see
soft.
It. It sounds
soft.
Like star.
It's not
well, we're not trying to guess the plastic. That's the good news.
This doesn't feel like Innova plastic to me.
You don't think?
But Innova plastic varies so much.
It could. What? No, but like with the what embossed weight, with the embossed weight and the tooling, like there's, I can't think of another one.
Trying to make sure I'm missing, like it, not missing
it
a sticker.
It can't be Legacy because they don't emboss their weights.
And yeah, can you feel? Is there the little white sticker all around the?
Oh, like good on
the
call, rim? Good call
for Innova.
It might not be on there though.
Yeah, true. Off. You feel it?
Is it there?
Yes.
Oh, well, okay. That's so it's Innova.
Okay, we're it's looking at Innova.
Should we just lock in a T-Bird?
Oh, it could be Halo.
Is it too? Yeah, we can go T-Bird.
Okay.
I say we just go
lock T-Bird. Lock in T-Bird. T-Bird. Champ T-Bird.
I told you it was champ.
It's a champ T-Bird.
I told you it was champ plastic. I can
you
hear it.
You said star.
No, I said it's not star.
Oh, I thought you said it was star.
Roll back the tape.
You definitely said, oh, that's star.
Yeah, you said
no,
star.
No, I said,
you
oh, it's not star.
Because I was like, yeah.
I will literally roll it back.
Roll it back.
Roll it back.
Right. I can't right now.
Well, we'll roll back. You said star.
You definitely said.
No, I did not.
You did. Oh, that's feel this plastic. This does not feel like normal champ.
Oh, you're right. I did say it's star. You're right. I remember that. Yeah, that doesn't. It feels. It's pretty gummy.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully you enjoyed that.
What made you flip flop all of a sudden?
Because I remember that I said that's too soft by the sound. So that's why I said.
I was about to go to the death.
All right. Before we get into Trevor's trivia, let's take a moment to thank another one of our sponsors. The holidays are almost here, and there is plenty of T-shirt cheer thanks to our sponsor, True Classic Tees. Fellas, we have the perfect gift for your wish list. True Classic Tees are a gift for you, for her, and a great present for any guy in your life. True Classic is on a mission to maximize men's confidence by making them look good. And trust me when I say that this is a gift that the ladies will appreciate, too. They've already helped over 2 million men look great in their tees, and so now you can save big while you do so. Get 25% off True Classic with my exclusive link, trueclassic.com/griplocked, my exclusive link, not Connor or Trevor's. And the discounts don't stop there. You'll save even more during their site-wide sale. So support our show and check them out at trueclassic.com/griplocked. If you're rocking a Santa bod, True Classic might be the Christmas miracle you've been waiting for. Almost all men's t-shirts are designed to look good on a certain body type. Well, True Classic's team designed t-shirts to make the fellas of all sizes out there feel confident in their clothing. They offer other menswear as well, ranging from polos to workout shirts and even boxer briefs designed to help your boys feel nice and comfortable. They make it super easy to build out your wardrobe with their elite True Classic quality. They have a pack builder on their website so you can customize the bundle you want and save even more. And for my big fellas out there, they have long options for tall guys and up to triple XL sizing. So get 25% off at trueclassic.com/griplocked. Free shipping's included on purchases over $100 at 25% off at trueclassic.com/griplocked. Santa won't be the only one slaying out there thanks to True Classic.
Heck yeah, slay.
My mom bought my dad some True Classic tees for Christmas.
I love
your
them.
Dad's gonna look freaking
I
good.
Them. I yeah, want some more is. True Classic tees.
Come on, Kev.
Trevor's Trivia, Trivia with Trevor.
Wasn't that song fun? All right, Trevor's Trivia.
All right, you remember that time we played that game where we tried to guess all the Innova discs?
Yeah.
Well, somebody made one of them for Discraft.
Ooh.
So it's going to be same rules. Now, this one has a way longer timer, but I think we did 7 minutes for Innova, so we're going to do...
Seven minutes?
No, we did like 4 minutes, I think.
Pretty sure we did 2 minutes.
I think we did two.
Let's do 2 minutes. We probably did two.
2 minute warning.
We can bump it up. Just take
bump
time.
Up the timer.
Hunter, you
bump
need to do the
up.
Timer because I need to be able to type in your answers as you go.
Connor, bump. How much time do you want, bud?
Do 2 minutes.
I don't care, man. Connor. We can do 5.
So, all right, we're going to do 2 minutes. Connor, what do you want?
Discraft. All Discraft discs, and it's same rules as last time where you have to alternate guessing.
Okay.
Okay, so we're just guessing Discraft.
There's 101 molds.
This was just made.
It says 2022.
I mean, there's no way we're getting 101 molds in 2 minutes, man.
No, but we can get 50.
I think you got like 40 something.
Should we bump it to 3 minutes?
No, I think we go 2 minutes right. And we go to town here.
We be efficient.
All right,
here.
On your okay. Mark, get set, go.
Force.
Zone.
Zeus.
Buzz.
Passion.
Onyx.
Zone. Luna.
Focus.
Roach.
Predator.
Challenger.
Vulture.
Challenger OS.
Nuke.
Challenger SS.
Nuke OS.
Raptor.
Nuke SS.
Captain's Raptor.
Crank.
Crank SS.
Thrasher.
Punisher.
XS.
Predator.
XL.
The Zero. Nope. What was that one disc? Oh my gosh, here I go again. Avenger SS.
Avenger.
Did I already say Predator?
I did.
Let's see here. What are some?
You got this.
You're right. I do the Cyclone.
Nice. Soul.
The. Oh my gosh, I'm struggling here. I'm struggling, Hunter.
Come
I'm
on.
Struggling. What are other Discraft discs? The Wasp.
Mantis.
The what's the other one that the Nova? No, the with the no the one that Brad really likes. What's it called?
Nebula.
Nebula. Thank
Drone.
You. Drone. Buzz SS.
You already said that.
No, I said Buzz.
And then you said OS and SS. I thought.
No, I didn't.
Okay, OS.
Okay, there we go. and then the Impact.
Oh, that's a good one. Fierce.
Nice. The Ringer.
Ringer GT.
Banger GT.
Buzz GT.
Oh yeah. what are some other ones, Hunter? What's that? Flick.
Time's up. Okay. I think we did pretty good.
Yeah, we did pretty good.
I was typing at the speed of light.
There's no way Trevor kept up.
I think I'm about 10 behind.
Oh,
because at one point, the problem with Discraft is because there's so many SS and OS molds, there was zero hope in me catching up.
Well, tell us which one was the last one you were on, because we can go from there.
Well, no, I missed ones in the middle for sure. You'd have to go back. I mean, but I think I was about 10 behind, so I would say you ended up around getting about 42 molds.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Yeah, almost half.
I was able to type down 32 of them, but I definitely missed around 10, I would say. And yeah. that's
we missed we missed some putters for sure.
Let me go through. For the life of me, I could not think of any more putters.
We missed the Sky Streak. We missed the Zeppelin.
So let me
get that one. Zephyr.
So Rattler, Sky Streak, Vortex, Rattler. Sting.
Rattler, yeah.
Vortex, that's a DGA mold.
Apparently at one point it was a Discraft mold as well. You said Punisher, APX, mm-hmm. Stratus. APX,
Stratus.
Tracker.
The Crush.
Nuke. The Crush. Did you say Nuke?
We did say Nuke.
Okay, yeah. Machete.
We did not say Machete.
Dang. Archer.
We did not say Archer. We didn't say Sting either.
The Putter.
We're dummies.
I forgot
Hawk,
about the Putter.
The Comet.
The Hawk. The Comet. How could we forget about the Comet? The Poles.
The Venom.
Yeah.
Malta. Did you say Malta?
We did not. We said every other PM line.
I felt so dumb during that.
Zombie.
Ah!
Reaper. Magnet.
Magnet.
We didn't do as good as I thought.
Glide. No, Talon. Surge. Extreme. Express. Heat. Hornet. Yeah, there's a lot he missed. But there's also a lot on that list.
Yeah,
your score is pretty good because there's a lot on that list that are nobody's getting. They're very old.
Mm.
So, well, if you want to get an exact count on that, you're going to have to count along with the show, which is
the Marauder.
A lot easier than trying to type.
Is the Marauder on that list? Got him.
And then see if you can go to that. It's on Sporacle with those quizzes for disc golf and see if you can beat the score. See if your buddies can beat the score. That was very good.
I love those games.
You guys rolled through that. Yeah, and also if you want to make more of those, I may just go on there and make those quizzes for other manufacturers, but if you want to, just go on and make them, then we'll play them.
Quick little off-season player tracking. Paige Hsu has left Dynamic Discs.
Very interesting.
Doesn't seem like a big deal to a lot of new players because she was world champ 2018, disappeared because she ended up getting married, having a kid, took some time off. From what I understand, she's going to get back into the tour game a little bit. She's definitely a player that can contend in FPO. I wouldn't say that she is a like elite level FPO player.
She's just not like a, she's not like physically a like insane talent as far as like crazy distance.
Yeah,
like,
but she's just very solid.
Yeah. I mean, she won a world title in an era where Paige and Kat were both very good.
Yeah.
So
she could definitely be she could be like a top five. Like I would consider her kind of like a Haley King type player. But Haley King, I think, has more potential. But like where Haley King's at currently,
I think she's I think she's a fringe player.
If Paige Hsu popped off, she could win at the right course, right conditions. But I don't think she's going to be a week in, week out winner.
No.
So her leaving DD is not a like huge deal in the grand scheme of things. But she has been tied to DD for a long time. There is a possibility where she just isn't going anywhere. That she's just done. But I don't think that's the case. I think she's going somewhere. Where do you think she's headed?
I mean, the ultimate trap card would be if she just ended up somewhere else in like the Latitude family.
Here's what I think. Now, this is reading way into it. But Hannah Macbeth posted on her story, very excited, when Paige Hsu left. Posted like, I forget what she said alongside it. Hannah Macbeth just is a big supporter of FPO in general, but I'm reading that as Paige Hsu is going to Discraft.
I could see that happening.
I I don't know. The question is, like, what team? Because, like, Paige Hsu, she won a world title, but she essentially doesn't bring value to a manufacturer necessarily. Because, like, she's...
Well, I don't think she's going to be a really expensive pickup
either. No, and she's kind of an unknown, so it's like...
Lone Star.
So, like, typically players like that stay with their manufacturer because you have the most value with your team that you've been with forever because they like you. Like, you're part of that family. So, moving is very interesting. It almost makes me feel like a retailer.
Oh, like an infinite situation.
That's what I... It almost feels like she talked to her buddy Eric Oakley, also left Dynamic.
Very possible.
In a similar situation, I kind of feel like Infinite.
But I feel like if you go into something like that, you've got to be a really active person because it's kind of like, I feel like a lot of the marketing falls on you and a lot of the marketing falls on like...
Well, if they're willing to pay her though, like, yeah, she didn't have to do anything.
That's true.
What do you think, Connor?
I don't know, though. I'm very clueless on this one. Do I make a bet on putters for the entire year on this one?
No.
Wait till somebody a little more crazy gets out there.
I'm trying to think of where, like, who would, like, what company would see value in this was a, you know, this was a world champion.
If it's DGA, am I using steady
scan? No.
So what do you mean, no, dude? My discs, dude.
All right, yeah, sure. No. Go for it. If it's DGA, you gotta do steadies another year.
No, yeah. Yeah, say it. No, say it.
No.
Double down on it.
Say it, Trevor.
No.
I double dog dare you.
No.
I triple dog dare you.
Stop. I'm gonna cry. You guys
you can't double dog triple dog.
You're gonna make me cry, you guys. And you don't like that movie. I feel like it could be described.
I met Paige Hsu one time at a course in Charlotte.
The other.
That wasn't Paige Hsu.
Oh.
That was.
That's Paige Sandel.
She was wearing flip-flops and mashing forehands.
The other only other player tracking announcement I've seen since last week. Oh, big yawn. Wow, is Matt Bell contract extension with Thought Space Athletics. I believe nice. He's also with Infinite. I could be wrong.
I'm not sure on that.
I don't know. I also thought it was fascinating. We saw a Clash disc tease and release in their one-year anniversary box. A disc designed, I believe it's called the Spice, designed by Eric Oakley.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, the first time we've seen like
that is interesting.
One
isn't
of
it?
Those like not a specific no. like Eric's not signed specifically by Clash.
Well, he made a Berg, but it wasn't like his own disc.
No, but like this, yeah, that's what I'm saying, like own disc. Because like Drew's done it with his own company with Finish Line.
Yeah.
Prior to that, Drew did it with Legacy, but it wasn't his own mold. It was a previous already existed Legacy mold, and then like stamped it as like the Phantom Warrior or not the Phantom Warrior something. Mm-hmm. But it was a Legacy mold that existed and then we had like a Drew Gibson stamp and run in a special plastic. This is like, from what I understand, this disc didn't exist. They worked with Eric Oakley and developed the Spice to exist.
Which
I think is an interesting one.
It is interesting.
It'll be cool. I mean, I think the disc, because it's an overstable Felon Raptor Firebird-esque disc.
Probably trying to make a Felon, yeah.
We've got one in our hands and it's in my car. Feels very, very good.
It does feel
good. I think just the essence of the disc, it's going to sell very well because it's that overstable fairway slot. I feel like it's a disc that everyone loves, everyone wants, and a lot of times people aren't content with in their bag.
Mm-hmm. Hand up.
You know what I'm saying?
Hand up. I'm not
like, I feel
content.
Like nonstop, there's just something about that spot that
I'm,
like...
I'm already eyeballing that Spice thinking it could kick out my Sexton.
Like, I feel like that's just one I see
that
a lot
spice
of people
is definitely
rotate.
Going in.
It dates back
You're
to...
You're not throwing it.
I am. I have it. I have it and you don't.
That's
not true. I have one.
No, Hunter, I beat you, remember?
Hunter literally gave me the other one.
Remember, I won.
It goes back to like Paul struggled with that spot with Innova.
Now.
Remember? He had the Firebird,
yeah.
The Monster,
yeah,
the
yeah.
FD3. It's like cycled.
I still have, so I still have one of the Champ Monsters. Paul was throwing them for a while and then stopped throwing them. So he gave all the ones he had because they're out of production still, right?
I think so.
And he gave all the ones he was throwing to my buddy and then he gave me a couple of them. And I almost gave you that for the disc exchange, one of the Champ Monsters, but I didn't know if you'd appreciate like know what it was about.
I would have appreciated it.
So I went with the other one.
What do you mean you don't know? You know that I used to idolize Paul's bag.
I know, but like it's very niche because he only threw them for like a couple weeks,
It was, probably half a season.
Was it really? These were monsters?
Yeah, he threw them for a while.
It was for an in the bag. He had them during
because he switched from those to FD3s.
Yeah. That was a rough time.
Yeah. He was struggling, man.
Should have gone back to the tie-dye Firebirds, man.
All right. Final thing to wrap out the show. So we got about 10 minutes to cover here, if that timeline's right. Is that timeline right?
It's pretty close. It's within like 5 minutes.
Pretty close.
Dang on, man. We found a way to make something out of nothing, huh? Disc golf help desk.
You can't tell them that, yeah, what Hunter. The heck?
What?
You can't let them in.
There was this was a slow week of disc golf.
This is called
we've got a lot.
Season.
Look at all
that's
these,
what I'm saying.
All these people that need help.
It was a slow week of disc golf. Whoa. And so we were able to put a show together that
what's
I thought
a fast
was a pretty
week in disc golf
was a
like?
Pretty competent, entertaining show.
All right, so we're doing. I ask people for things they want disc golf advice on, and there's
disc
like some serious
line.
Ones, and then there's some like really funny ones too.
Nice, I like both.
So I'm gonna try and kind of find a mix of the two of them. A lot of people want help with their mental game. You're in the wrong place.
Yeah. Where the heck are you coming to us for?
somebody said, how many bergs do I need?
10. All different stages of wear.
Either 10 or 0. There's no in between.
Yeah. No. If you have one berg in your bag, you're not really
either
part
10
of it.
Or negative 10. Negative 10 means you go to other people's bags, take their bergs, and throw them in the woods.
Somebody said, how to pick the right disc without buying a ton of discs. Well, there's actually this crazy tool on our website. Tell them about it.
It's a His flight number Trevor. Selector. So you can go there, you can look at kind of what you want a disc to do, use it based on the flight number. Obviously, flight numbers aren't exact, but at least give you a good realm of what you're looking for. Other best ways, to be completely honest, is find a local disc golf shop with a used section or just play out of your buddy's bags. Mm-hmm. Be like, hey, I really like this Heiser Flip Mid. What do you use for it? And if he's like, this beat up DX Rock, you take it, you throw it. If you're like, man, really like that, but I don't like X, Y, or Z about it, it gives you a good starting place that then you can go and look for, like, I really want something that flies like a rock, but it's beadless. Then you can go from there.
This is actually a great one right here. This guy, this is very relatable. This guy is looking for advice on the short backhand approach. I can do 150 plus, but the 100-ish range, I can't get down. You're talking about, like, the hardest shot in disc golf.
Yeah, I think
because
brutal.
For me, like, I can jump putt to, like, pretty close to 100 feet, but realistically, like outside anything above 80 feet, and it starts getting a little dicey. And this range is like the hardest because you basically, the worst scenario, right, is you have a gap that, like in my case at least, I'll be at that distance where I'm just outside of jump putt range. And if I was in jump putt range, hitting the line I'm trying to hit to get up and down would be like automatic. 10 times out of 10, I'm under the basket. But because I now have to reach back and toss the disc, all of a sudden it becomes infinitely harder and it's like I'm only 100 feet away. I have to get up and down. So, and the backhand makes it even harder because like for me, because of that situation, I will normally prefer to throw a straight forehand because I can look at my target. The number one thing I would say is if you're not fan gripping already, you really have to fan grip from this range. That is mm-hmm. like a must. If you're not fan gripping, you kind of have to. This is like the only time I fan grip is if I have to throw a short backhand like this, I fan grip. Another thing that I do is I throw a very wrist heavy shot. I try and take a lot of arm out of this shot when I throw it because it's just one more lever. I try to kind of throw the disc out in front of my body a little more, right? Because if I'm making sure my release is just out in front of my body, I'm using mostly wrist to propel it, then I feel like I don't have to worry about my miss, which is like usually an early release, which is my arm not getting through all the way. So I'm kind of just like flicking it out in front of my body. I feel like, Hunter, you throw kind of a wrist-ish shot as well.
I fan grip every putter. I don't understand how anyone power grips a putter. It makes no sense to me. I suck at this shot, so I'm not going to give you any of my advice. I'm going to use Yuli's advice from a video I saw forever ago, which made a lot of sense and helped me when I was doing it. But then this is just something that takes practice. But he talked about, you want to throw those shots with the nose up,
yeah,
so that they like drop, and so you almost like can almost run it, but it just drops by the basket. And so what he taught was getting the nose up and get your elbow above your wrist or your wrist above your elbow. So you keep your hand here, and then as you throw, you keep your wrist above your elbow the whole time. That assures the nose is up, so it's a more of a floaty shot. So you can use a little bit more speed like you're comfortable with, but since the nose is up, it's like applying air brakes the whole way.
That's a good point.
And it kind of floats it there. Because I think the toughest part is like when you just try to throw a normal shot and just slow it down, it messes your timing and everything up, at least for me. And when I try to like get finessey with it without that like nose angle thing, it really screws me up. But the nose angle thing lets me throw a little bit more of a normal, more normal shot. And with the nose being up, it helps it like float down. And fan grip, I think, obviously crucial. Yeah. But so I was everything. All actually, my putters.
It makes me feel better that you say that you saw that in a Yuli video, because I was going to say that exact same thing just from my own experience. Because this shot is actually one of the few shots in disc golf I would say that I am above average at, and that is 100-foot like frisbee toss. That's like the one shot that I never feel like nervous about. I feel nervous about every other shot, but whenever I get to that shot, I'm just throwing a toss, and I do that exact thing that you were talking about, where I just throw a really nose up. Like, I think about like if you are just like in your front yard and you pull a putter from your practice basket and you're just playing catch with your buddy. Like, I don't throw putts whenever I'm playing catch, because that makes playing catch a lot less fun, even if you're only a few, like, not that far from each other. I throw that little snappy frisbee toss. And the way that I get that nose up angle for me is I kind of almost picture it as like I'm pressing down my thumb on the top of the disc. And so whenever I'm throwing it, I'm kind of almost get my thumb pressed down on it to get it nose up. And then I just throw almost all of them on like either a little ante or flat, to where, because whenever you throw nose up, like Hunter said, it's going to slow down faster, meaning that it's almost always going to flex. So if you throw the nose up and straight, like it's going to want to fade like a little bit. But if you throw nose up and a little ante, then it'll do like a quick flex almost. And so that's, I always like to do those controlled quick flex shots for my 100-foot shots.
If you talk to Robbie C, he'll talk to you about like the like backloading the pressure on the disc to get the nose up. Like he'll like, this is something I didn't even know about until, apparently pros talk about this too, is like you can like front load or back load the pressure on the disc to help control the nose angle. So if I'm trying to get the nose up, I want to press more of my pressure on the back end of my hand that's gripping the back of the disc, because that's going to push the front of the disc upwards. Which is like that is a good way to think about it. If you can't get like the wrist angle correct, is like just like try and get the disc pointed up. This is actually another interesting one. Which pros have the best form for a newer player to model their swings after? I like you called it a swing.
I think personally,
this is a loaded question.
Personally, I think you just have to look at a player that matches your build and figure out how they generate.
That's a good idea.
Figure out how they generate power.
The way,
because like I'm not super lanky, I'm a little taller than Paul, but yeah. I probably have a similar wingspan to Paul, and so I've always copied Paul. Because if I tried to throw, I learned from Will Schuestrick video wise, but then I started trying to copy Paul's like little movements.
Right.
Because if I tried to throw the way someone like Ricky or Big Germ or Brody throws, they're dealing with way bigger levers than me. So the way they generate power is far different than how I'll be able to generate power.
That's a good point.
So I've always looked at like more compact throwers. So I think just find someone who's built similarly to you, wingspan and height wise and stuff, and then see how are they generating power.
Some people certainly have. I think it also comes down to like some people do have foolproof form. There are certain players, like you mentioned, that their build has a lot to do with the way they get power, because they're using it to their advantage. Like, for instance, a guy like Gannon Burr, a Schuestrick guy, or an Eagle is really the best example. Super lengthy, so you're not going to see anything crazy explosive as far as their speed into the shot before they reach back, because they have so much length that if they get, as long as they reach back really far and unlock those shoulders, that you see those guys do better than anybody. They know that their length is just going to let them just rip the disc through. So their form is more like that. Whereas you look at like maybe a Drew Gibson or a Double G, those guys have a lot of, they're pretty built guys. They're pretty bulky. So theirs, you see a lot of like really quick torso rotation. They kind of use their center of mass to their advantage. It kind of is different. There are certain people though that I would say, like for instance, if you are trying to imitate somebody like Paul's form, you're not going to really run into trouble. Like
No, I think the only thing with Paul's form though is if you're tall and lanky, he's a very wide rail thrower, meaning he pumps out instead of reaching back.
Yeah.
I think if you're long and lanky, you're going to generate more power reaching back than out. I think reaching out as a long and lanky player doesn't get you your full advantage. But Paul does that because it allows him to generate more of that.
How would it not give a long lengthy player even more whip? If the whole
idea, then why does no lengthy player throw like that?
I just don't think there's no swing coaches, so like everybody develops their own form. I think wide roll throwing like that is the best way to generate
power. I think it's less consistent because you're going offline.
I could agree with that.
I think that you only do that if you don't have a long wingspan.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't, you're not really going to go wrong at trying to imitate Paul's form. There are certain players where, like, I literally would, like, I would never tell somebody to throw like Ricky Wysocki throws. Backhands. Yeah. Forehands, sure. Backhands, I wouldn't tell somebody to throw like that. He makes it work. And, like, obviously, he's also a taller guy, too. But there are certain players that you, like, if you imitate them, it's not going to hurt you. But I think, because, like, for me, too, I also learned by looking at Schustrick and kind of threw like he did. And then I started liking to watch Paul, so I kind of imitated stuff that he did. I think the key is here. The thing about form is once you start developing habits early on, they're going to really lock onto you, and like it's going to be hard to shake them. So like, just be sure that whatever form you're imitating, like the there's key things that you should be paying attention to that pretty much all the pros do correctly. Yes. So if you really compare a lot of forms and you find things like I think the most important thing in disc golf form to get down early is the timing between your lower body and upper body. And if they match correctly to where your upper body is starting its pull through and ripping the disc across at the right time with your lower body, that is the most important thing, because when your timing is off, like my timing is not great in my form. It's really not. My legs typically get ahead of my arms. It's impossible to fix later on. It's not impossible, but it's so hard that it's like
everything.
It's not worth my time. Like, it's that crazy. And timing is the key to distance more than anything else. It's timing.
Other key, don't copy our forms.
No, do not. You can copy Hunter's form. Hunter's form is good.
Well, you can copy aspects of my form.
Your upper body is really good.
My upper body's great compared to my lower body, which is like a foreign language. My lower body's in a different time zone than my upper body. Basically what's going on.
Yeah.
I generate all my power from my upper body. My lower body doesn't... It doesn't translate.
Somebody said, tips on when to blame the disc and understand that it's not your form, but the disc that doesn't work.
That's funny.
Whenever you're in a situation that you can't practice in the field, time-wise, blame the disc. It'll make you feel a lot better. That's
true. I would say, realistically, the only time you can blame the disc is if you release it on the exact line you were intending and it didn't do well, then you probably picked the wrong disc. There's no time to blame a disc until it does something completely out of character.
If you threw it on the exact same angle and the exact same line it does something completely different.
There's rarely a time to blame the disc.
I think the key here is just strategically choose the wrong disc.
Yeah, so that you can only blame this.
So like if I have a hole that I'm not good at,
I would just blame myself, though.
No, I'm just strategically choose a bad disc so that when I throw it and it doesn't do what I expected it to do, I'd be like, are you kidding me? I threw it on the perfect angle and just hyzered out like that. How's someone going to argue with you?
But if you hit the line, though, why didn't you just throw the right disc?
Because you're being strategic. You suck at the hole. You know you're going to mess up.
Okay.
So you just make it where the disc is going to be the reason you can blame for you messing up.
Understood.
So then you walk off the tee still like...
frustrated.
This is the real.
You can direct your frustration towards a disc and off yourself. The less you're frustrated with yourself in disc golf, the better. Because you're frustrated with the disc, you'd be like, you know what? I need to pick up a different one of those.
Foundationdisc.com. How do you know when you need to change up your putting stroke? Well, I just have like a reminder set on my phone. Like once every 3 weeks.
To be honest, I step behind the mini. And here's the thing. I think that changing up your putting stroke is always the wrong move.
Always? No, not true.
You can make a putt. You can make any putting stroke work.
Yeah, but it's not.
You can be a very solid putter. Like once you get your putting stroke done, figured out, I think 99% of the time, it's not the putting stroke.
I do agree with that. I think that like there are a lot of things you can do to make your putting more effective. If you're a bad putter, like let's be honest. At the end of the day, putting is mostly mental. Like the act of putting a disc into a basket from inside of 30 feet where most people are going to struggle is not hard. Exactly. Athletically. Mm-hmm. It is your brain that holds you back, because if you took my brain out of it and I'm in my basement just throwing putts, yeah, I'm making 98% of them probably from 20 feet. But obviously it's a mental side. So Hunter's right. The key to putting is to do the same routine and putting stroke over and over again so many times that you can get your body into cruise control and get the muscle memory so good. And I'm not kidding. It takes a long time to really do this enough, but that's your only hope.
Because what I think people do is, like, for instance, my putt broke 3 weeks ago. Completely broke. But yeah. I've been putting the same way for 5 or 6 yeah. years now. So I know my putting stroke works
right.
when it works.
Yeah, that's what I would say. If you once you find a putting stroke that at some point it works, stick to that one. Don't ever change ever.
Because so what life. I'll do is, like, if I get frustrated, I change putters to reset my mind. I don't touch my stroke.
Unless you are like a freak of nature and you are having a putting issue that is, like, if you were like a player of a caliber to where, like, you know that the mental side is not the issue, like, there's literally a mechanic that you should change in your putt, then we're talking to the 1% here. But for most of us, it's our brains.
Well, because I think what ends up happening is, like, if I were to go try to find a new putting stroke, my putting net over the next year is going to be much worse.
Yeah.
Because I'll probably find something that works for a week or two, but my body doesn't know it.
Right.
So then the second I have lack of confidence...
You're also going to be trying to revert back to what you used to do as well.
Yeah. Then once I've broken it, right, now I'm a spin putter all of a sudden, or a straddle spin putter. Then 2 months from now, when that doesn't work, because I'm go through cycles, I'm not a pro, I suck at putting. That just happens. When I go through a spot where I suck at putting, I'm going to be like, well, let me revert back to what I know.
Here,
guess what I don't know anymore.
Here's what I liked. When you need a putting change, you can change two things, in my opinion. Your putters, foundationdisc.com. You can also, but the other thing you can change is not your putting technique, but your strategy. So have you been trying to aim for a certain point on the basket, and are you missing in a similar spot? Maybe try a different aim point. Maybe change up your routine.
Maybe get a disc dot.
Yeah, get a disc dot. But I'm just saying, like, that is something that I've changed, is like maybe my thought process behind putting, like how I want to aim, how I want to visualize my release. Like, a lot of times my visualization is I'm going to start my putter at a place where I'd like to release it and then try and feel like I'm throwing through where my hand just was. Like, if a silhouette was left where my hand just went left, I'm trying to go through that spot. But like things like that are what I would recommend changing before, like, changing your putting stroke.
Well, I also think you have, like, an injury. The putter change should be strategic. So, like, for me, what, I don't
know. Everything flies same inside of 30
no,
feet.
No, I fully disagree.
Inside of 30 feet?
From like 27 feet, 25 feet, I fully disagree.
Yeah, so true. Because
it's also the feel, like, PA3s are bricks.
No, I feel it, I agree, but I think flight-wise, like, I think most people should...
I notice a drastic difference putting with my Nomads and my PA3s.
Or a PA3 and a Luna.
Yeah.
I don't know that the difference is going to be that.
But what I'm saying is strategic.
If you're a good putter.
Let me finish my thought. Strategically, right? I was putting with Nomads and I realized what was happening was my Nomads had tons of glide. So it was encouraging me to just be timid and leave. And what ended up happening is I was fluffing putts and leaving it short. So what I think a lot of people do is go to a glidier putter, but I think that increases my issue. So I went the opposite route to a putter with no glide, or little glide, making me the only way I can putt is to be confident in my putt, which is when my putts are the best. So that's what I'm saying, is be strategic with it. Is like, if you know your miss is just sailing something past the basket, I wouldn't necessarily encourage more glide, but just be strategic when you're picking your next putter. Don't base it solely on feel, although that is a big thing, but inside 30 feet, you can putt with something you're uncomfortable with if you know it's going to fix your problem. So, like, for me, I just feel like
it's way more often feel over the flight of a putter inside of 30 feet.
Maybe we're just different. I mean, when I'm picking a putter initially, 100% I go feel, but I know my PA3 requires me to putt harder than my Nomad.
Because to be
honest,
in my 10 years or whatever playing disc golf, I think the only putter that I've ever noticed to fly different inside of the circle is the PA3. It just doesn't really glide a lot. But, like, all the other ones I've tried, I've never been like, oh, this one glides more, this one... They just kind of...
Lunas and McPro AVRs glide a ton. Nomad had a lot of glide. The Judge was kind of like a middle road for me.
It might just be the way I throw putts, but, like, I don't...
Well, your putt does have to spin.
And that... Yeah, I mean, that's true.
No, I just think be strategic. I think a lot of people just go willy-nilly when they're switching putters. And, like, if I went from a Nomad to an Envy, yeah, I probably would have noticed
the switch putters on a whim like that. I would always, like, think about it really carefully.
Also, there's gonna be a poll for you to pick Trevor's new putter on Twitter
at some point. Yeah,
go one more.
Sure.
Yeah. Let me find another good one. These are pretty good. Everybody's got some good questions. There's plenty of these, so we can do this consistently. But another good one: how to stop my wrist rolling on forehands.
Focus on your follow through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Palm to the sky.
The best things I've figured out in for my struggles in forehands, wrist roll, yeah, it's all about the follow through, holding the angle. And then if you're struggling with wobble, the biggest thing I actually learned, which is so almost, it seems counterintuitive, but it actually is true, is like if I'm getting a lot of wobble on my forehands, I have to focus on throwing the disc more arm, less legs. Because if my legs get ahead of my arm, it's wobble city. And actually, Paul, like I watched him do that to fix his forehand once, and it blew my mind. I was like, what do you mean, like throw more arm? And he was like, well, if I focus more arm, it gets my arm back ahead of my legs more where I need it to be or back on pace. And like, if I'm ever struggling with wobble on my forehand, I just think, make sure you use more arm on this one and make sure it gets out ahead of your legs a bit. And it's way better. Mm. If my arm lags behind my legs on a forehand, just wobbled, nose up all over the place. It's bad.
Yeah, I think the pros are so good at releasing a disc and then rolling their wrist naturally that it makes us AMs who aren't very good at it just naturally want our wrist to do this.
Well, it's hard to get a ton of power, too.
And it just immediately turns your angle.
If you feel like your arm has to stay here, it's really hard to get a lot of power, which is tough.
Which for me, forehand is about accuracy.
Yeah.
Which I don't, for some players, it's about power, obviously.
Forehand is totally a build. Difficult throw to learn because you have to build it. Like you have to start your forehand with just like, can I throw 200 foot approaches and snap them and spin them really nice and accurate? And then you start working on a little more distance. Okay, now do I want to raise my arm up a little bit higher? And you don't progress to the next one until you feel like you can throw that distance forehand really good. And then you reach your arm's potential like 290 and then you know.
Or you just pick up a really overstable disc, rip it high on Anheuser and throw 400 feet with no control.
Yeah. Because what I found with my forehand is like,
I'm not saying any of y'all do that.
What I've found with my forehand is I know I don't have crazy distance. I just need it to be an effective shot from like 280 and in. So yeah. I literally just focus on back on one plane, through on one plane. Like I'm not trying to get up here and do all this because it can be done. It just requires a lot of skill and timing. So I'm just trying to release smooth forehands and keep the disc level. And I'm not trying to do anything crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm still not great at it.
If you're having problems with wrist rolling or wobble, stuff like that, I would say just reevaluate what your forehand's for. You're likely to be trying to throw a forehand further than you should be throwing a forehand, maybe. And like start with approaches and then get to like maybe a overstable fairway and then maybe get to the overstable, distance driver.
Yeah, with the way I learned a forehand and the way I've seen Brody teach forehands, I literally watched him teach a guy a forehand in Vegas in like 15 minutes and he was snapping them. Like it was like night and day. And the way he was teaching and the way that I kind of learned is take zones type discs. You should be throwing like 100 to 150 feet at max and just snap your wrist. Just snap your wrist and try to keep that level plane and get good spin on it. And you can build off of that. But you need that foundation, no pun intended, foundationdisc.com. you need that to work off if you're going to throw anything good. You're not just going to reach back one day and rip this awesome forehand. You got to start with the little snappy ones. Because a good forehand throwers, all of them, like the big germs of the world, the touch forehands those guys can throw like 20 feet away, just like whoop, insane.
I still want to find, I don't know where it is, but there's a video out there of Big Germ throwing ESP meteors, and it is just unreal.
The one time I was at, you may have been at Nationals this year.
I was.
Where they were playing Can Jam, him and Sexton.
No, I might have been there. I didn't see
it. They were playing Can Jam on two practice baskets behind WR or behind the Hall of Fame there. And they were like probably 50 feet away and just throwing dots to each other, just right in front of the cage every time, just forehands. Because him and Sexton both had just had like,
that is so much fun.
It was awesome. They're so good at it.
Unreal. There you have it. That's Grip Lock. We'll be back same time, same place next week. Appreciate you.